You're listening to Nick Treadwell's Storyville. The Story of My Heart. Chapter 1. The story of my heart commences 17 years ago. In the glow of youth, there were times every now and then when I felt the necessity of a strong inspiration of soul thought. My heart was dusty, parched for want of the rain of deep feeling, my mind arid and dry, for there is a dust which settles on the heart as well as that which falls on a ledge. It is injurious to the mind as well as to the body to be always in one place and always surrounded by the same circumstances. The species of thick clothing slowly grows around the mind, and pores are choked, little habits become a part of existence, and by degrees the mind is enclosed in a husk. When this began to form, I felt eager to escape from it, to throw off the heavy clothing, to drink deeply once more at the fresh foundations of life. An inspiration, a long deep breath of the pure air of thought, could alone give health to the heart. There is a hill to which I used to resort at such periods. The labour of walking 3 miles to it, all the while gradually ascending, seemed to clear my blood of the heaviness accumulated at home. On a warm summer day, the slow continued rise required continual effort, which carried away the sense of oppression. The familiar everyday scene was soon out of sight. I came to other trees, meadows, and fields. I began to breathe a new air and to have a fresher aspiration. I restrained my soul till reached the sward of the hill. Psyche, the soul that longed to be loose. I would write psyche always instead of soul to avoid meanings which have become attached to the word soul, but it is awkward to do so. Clumsy, indeed, are all words the moment the wooden stage of commonplace life is left. I restrained psyche, my soul, till I reached and put my foot on the grass at the beginning of the green hill itself. Moving up the sweet short turf, at every step my heart seemed to obtain a wider horizon of feeling. With every inhalation of rich pure air, a deeper desire. The very light of the sun was whiter and more brilliant here. By the time I had reached the summit, I had entirely forgotten the petty circumstances and annoyances of existence. I felt myself. There was an entrenchment on the summit, and going down into the fosse, I walked round it slowly to recover breath. On the southwestern side, there was a spot where the outer bank had partially slipped, leaving a gap. There the view was over a broad plain, beautiful with wheat and enclosed by a perfect amphitheatre of green hills. Through these hills there was one narrow groove, or pass, southwards, where the white clouds seemed to close in the horizon. Woods hid the scattered hamlets and farmhouses, so that I was quite alone. I was utterly alone, with the sun and the earth. Lying down on the grass, I spoke in my soul to the earth, the sun, the air, and the distant sea far beyond sight. I thought of the earth's firmness. I felt it bear me up. Through the grassy couch there came an influence, as if I could feel the great earth speaking to me. I thought of the wandering air, its pureness, which is its beauty. The air touched me and gave me something of itself. I spoke to the sea. Though so far in my mind I saw it, green at the rim of the earth and blue in the deeper ocean. I desired to have its strength, its mystery and glory. Then I addressed the sun, desiring the sole equivalent of his light and brilliance, his endurance and unwearied race. I turned to the blue heaven over, gazing into its depth, inhaling its exquisite colour and sweetness. The rich blue of the unattainable flower of the sky drew my soul towards it, and there it rested. eye for pure colour is rest of heart. By all these I prayed. I felt an emotion of the soul beyond all definition. Prayer is a puny thing to it, and the word is a rude sign to the feeling, but I know no other. By the blue heaven, by the rolling sun, bursting through untrodden space, a new ocean of ether every day unveiled. By the fresh and wandering air encompassing the world. By the sea sounding on the shore. The green sea, white, flecked at the margin, and the deep ocean, by the strong earth under me. Then, returning, I prayed by the sweet thyme, whose little flowers I touched with my hand, by the slender grass, by the crumble of dry, chalky earth I took up and let fall through my fingers. Touching the crumble of earth, the blade of grass, the thyme flower, breathing the earth in circling air, thinking of the sea and the sky, holding out my hand for the sunbeams to touch it, prone on the sward in token of deep reverence, thus I prayed that I might touch the unutterable existence infinitely higher than deity. With all the intensity of feeling which exalted me, all the intense communion I held with the earth, the sun and sky, the stars hidden by the light, with the ocean, in no manner can the thrilling depth of these feelings be written. With these I prayed, as if they were the keys of an instrument, of an organ, with which I swelled forth the note of my soul, redoubling my own voice by their power. The great sun burning with light, the strong earth, dear earth, the warm sky, the pure air, the thought of ocean, the inexpressible beauty of all filled me with a rapture, an ecstasy, an inflatus. With this inflatus too I prayed. Next to myself I came and recalled myself, my bodily existence. I held out my hand. The sunlight gleamed on the skin and the iridescent nails. I recalled the mystery and beauty of the flesh. I thought of the mind with which I could see the ocean 60 miles distant and gather to myself its glory. I thought of my inner existence, that consciousness which is called the soul. These, that is, myself, I drew into the balance to weight the prayer the heavier. My strength of body, mind and soul, I flung into it. I put forth my strength, I wrestled and laboured and toiled in might of prayer. The prayer, this soul emotion, was in itself not for an object, it was a passion. I hid my face in the grass, I was wholly prostrated, I lost myself in the wrestle, I was rapt and carried away. Becoming calmer, I returned to myself and thought, reclining in rapt thought, full of aspiration, steeped to the lips of my soul in desire. I did not then define or analyze or understand this. I see now that what I labored for was soul life, more soul nature, to be exalted, to be full of soul learning. Finally, I rose, walked half a mile or so along the summit of the hill eastwards to soothe myself and come to the common ways of life again. Had any shepherd accidentally seen me lying on the turf, he would only have thought that I was resting a few minutes. I made no outward show. Who could have imagined the whirlwind of passion that was going on within me as I reclined there? I was greatly exhausted when I reached home. Occasionally I went up on the hill deliberately, deeming it good to do so. Then, again, this craving carried me away up there of itself. Though the principal feeling was the same, there were variations in the mode in which it affected me. Sometimes on lying down on the sward, I first looked up the sky, gazing for a long time till I could see deep into the azure and my eyes were full of the colour. Then I turned my face to the grass and thyme, placing my hands at each side of my face so as to shut out everything and hide myself. having drunk deeply of the heaven above and felt the most glorious beauty of the day, and remembering the old, old sea, which, as it seemed to me, was but just yonder at the edge, I now became lost and absorbed into the being or existence of the universe. I felt deep down into the earth under, and high above into the sky, and farther still to the sun and stars, still farther beyond the stars into the hollow of space, and losing thus my separateness of being came to seem like a part of the whole. Then I whispered to the earth beneath, through the grass and time, down into the depth of its ear, and again up to the starry space hid behind the blue of day. Travelling an instant across the distant sea, I saw, as if with actual vision, the palms and coconut trees, the bamboos of India, and the cedars of the extreme south. Like a lake with islands, the ocean lay before me, as clear and vivid as the plain beneath in the midst of the amphitheatre of hills. With the glory of the great sea, I said with the firm, solid and sustaining earth, the depth, distance and expanse of ether, the age, tamelessness and ceaseless motion of the ocean, the stars and the unknown space, by all those things which are most powerful known to me, by all those which exist but of which I have no idea whatever, I pray. Further, by my own soul, that secret existence which above all other things bears the nearest resemblance to the idea of spirit, infinitely nearer than earth, sun or star. Speaking by an inclination towards, not in words, my soul prays that I may have something from each of these, that I may gather a flower from them, that I may have in myself the secret and meaning of the earth, the golden sun, the light, the foam-flecked sea. Let my soul become enlarged. I am not enough. I am little and contemptible. I desire a greatness of soul, an irradiance of mind, a deeper insight, a broad hope. Give me power of soul, so that I may actually effect by its will that which I strive for. In winter, though I could not then rest on the grass or stay long enough to form any definite expression, I still went up to the hill once now and then, for it seemed that to merely visit the spot repeated all that I had previously said. But it was not only then. In summer, I went out into the fields and let my soul inspire these thoughts under the trees, standing against the trunk or looking up through the branches at the sky. If trees could speak, hundreds of them would say that I had had these soul emotions under them, leaning against the oak's massive trunk and feeling the rough bark and the lichen at my back, looking southwards over the grassy fields, cowslip yellow, at the woods on the slope. I thought my desire of deeper soul life, or under the green firs looking upwards, the sky was more deeply blue at their tops, then the brake fern was unrolling, the doves cooing, the thickets astir, the late ash leaves coming forth, under the shapely rounded elms, by the hawthorn, bushes and hazel, everywhere the same deep desire for the soul nature. To have from all green things and from the sunlight the inner meaning which was not known to them, that which I might be full of light as the woods of the sun's rays. Just to touch the lichen bark of a tree or the end of a spray projecting over the path as I walked seemed to repeat the same prayer in me. The long-lived summer days dried and warmed the turf in the meadows. I used to lie down in solitary corners at full length on my back, so as to feel the embrace of the earth. The grass stood high above me, and the shadows of the tree branches danced on my face. I looked up at the sky with half-closed eyes to bear the dazzling light. Bees buzzed over me. Sometimes a butterfly passed. There was a hum in the air, Green finches sang in the hedge. Gradually, entering into the intense life of the summer days, a life which burned around as if every grass blade and leaf were a torch, I came to feel the long-drawn life of the earth back into the dimmest past, while the sun of the moment was warm on me. Sesostris, of the most ancient sands of the south, in ancient, ancient days was conscious of himself and of the sun. This sunlight linked me through the ages to that past consciousness. From all the ages, my soul desired to take that soul life which had flowed through them as the sunbeams had continually poured on earth. As the hot sands take up the heat, so would I take up that soul energy. Dreamy in appearance, I was breathing full of existence. I was aware of the grass blades, the flowers, the leaves on the hawthorn and tree. I seemed to live more largely through them, as if each were a pore through which I drank. The grasshoppers called and leaped. The green finches sang, the blackbirds happily fluted. All the air hummed with life. I was plunged deep into existence, and with all that existence I prayed. Through every grass blade in the thousand grasses, through the million leaves, veined and edge-cut, and bush and tree, through the song notes and the marked feathers of the birds, through the insect's hum and the colour of the butterflies, through the soft warm air, the flecks of clouds dissolving, I use them all for prayer. With all the energy the sunbeams had poured unwearied on the earth since Sesostris was conscious of them on the ancient sands, with all the life that had been lived by vigorous man and beauteous woman since first in dearest Greece and dream of the gods was woven, with all the soul life that had flowed a long stream down to me, I prayed that I might have a soul more than equal to, far beyond my conception of these things of the past, the present, and the fullness of all life. Not only equal to these, but beyond, higher and more powerful than I could imagine, that I might take from all their energy, grandeur, and beauty, and gather it into me. That I might take from all their energy, grandeur, and beauty, and gather it into me. That my soul might be more than the cosmos of life. I prayed with the glowing clouds of sunset and the soft light of the first star coming through the violet sky. At night with the stars, according to the season, now with the Pleiades, now with the swan or burning Sirius and broad Orion's whole constellation, red Aldebaran, Arcturus and the northern crown, with the morning star, the light bringer. Once now and then, when I saw it, a white gold ball in the violet-purple sky, or framed about with pale summer vapour floating away as red streaks shot horizontally in the east. A diffused saffron ascended into the luminous upper azure. The disk of the sun rose over the hill, fluctuating with throbs of light. His chest heaved in fever of brilliance. All the glory of the sunrise filled me with broader and furnace-like vehemence of prayer, that I might have the deepest of soul life, the deepest of all, deeper far than all this greatness of the visible universe and even the invisible, that I might have a fullness of soul till now unknown and utterly beyond my own conception. In the deepest darkness of night, the same thought rose in my mind as in the bright light of noontide. What is there which I have not used to strengthen the same emotion?